Hi, this is Daniel Garber at the movies for CultureMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. I mentioned this before, but it's still true. The Hollywood star system has made a huge shift over the past few decades across the gender line. The biggest stars are now male, not female. Most movies are about men, not women, and most stories are told from a man's point of view. Even in movies with a female star, all the other main characters seem to be male. Most, but not all. There's actually a bumper crop of movies opening today that buck this trend. So this week I'm looking at four very different new movies, two realistic dramas, an action thriller, and a kids documentary, all told from the point of view of women, and interestingly, all touching on family relationships. Two new movies, Beeswax and Little Rock, are part of a new trend in indie filmmaking using non-actors, often using their own names. Ordinary situations, improvisational scenes, locations, not studios, no special effects, and without the usual obvious plot lines and cliches. Last year in Toronto, I enjoyed watching movies like Modra, No Hard Feelings. It's always fun watching new types of movies, but some work better than others. Well, first is Beeswax, directed by Andrew Bujalski. Okay, Jeannie and Lauren, played by Tilly and Maggie Hatcher, are adult twin sisters who live together. Jeannie owns a vintage clothing store in an American college town. She gets around in a car or else using her wheelchair. She's having problems with her business partner who's always flying off overseas while Jeannie's always working her ass off at the store. She's faced with the question of what to do with her business and whether her partner is going to sue her. Meanwhile, her sister Lauren is also deciding whether or not to take a big step in her life. And Merrill, it's a guy, played by Alex Karpovsky, a law student writing his bar exams, is Jeannie's on-again, off-again bed partner and her potential lawyer if he passes the bar. Okay, so the movie starts and ends very suddenly, as if we're allowed to spend a few days with these characters, like it's a documentary, and then they're gone again. Just like that. Like, the movie ends in a way that you don't expect it to end at all. Story itself is about normal, everyday events, people living their lives, having sex, going to work, talking with friends and family members. The parts are played by non-actors who are appealing and pretty funny, but still just regular people. I like the fact that it has one main character, Jeannie, with a physical disability without making it the main story. And it deals with it in a very matter-of-fact way, not ignoring the very real accommodations she has to be aware of to live her life, but without making it the central point. Morphing into some weeper where she stands up out of her wheelchair and triumphs, saying, I can walk again. It's not like that at all. It's sort of like casting a black Hamlet or a male Ophelia. This movie also deals with same-sex couples in the same unremarkable way. It's not a big and exciting movie, but has a comfortable, familial feel about it, along with the underlying competitiveness and rivalry among family members. Beeswax, as in Mind Your Own Beeswax, is a realistic look at a few days of the secrets and tensions in two sisters' lives. Next is Little Rock, directed by Mike Ott. Atsuko, played by Atsuko Okatsuka, and her brother Rintaro, played by Rintaro Sawamoto, are visiting from Japan. They're driving from Los Angeles to the San Francisco area to visit a place related to her family's past. When the rented car breaks down in Little Rock, a small town in L.A. County, they're forced to stay in a motel until they send them a new one to drive. But when they go to the room next door to complain about a loud drunken party, they end up meeting some locals and hang out with them. So Atsuko likes Corey, played by Corey Zakaria, who wants to be an actor model but owes too much money to his father and his drug dealer. But they don't speak the same language. Atsuko and Corey. They pretend to understand what each other are saying, but once Rintaro takes off, that's the brother, they're left without a translator. So Atsuko meets some other people, and jealousy and duplicity ensues. The problem with this movie is that most of the characters seem bland or uninteresting. It's realistic, but maybe too realistic. Atsuko and Corey never figure out how to communicate with each other, but most of the things they want the other to hear are just standard chatter anyway. Aside from a very touching scene toward the end of the movie on the phone. It really needs more interesting dialogue to go with the nice scenes of a pensive young Japanese woman coming to age in small town USA. Next is a mainstream movie called Hannah, directed by Joe Wright. Hannah, played by Saoirse Ronan, is brought up by her dad, Eric, played by Eric Bana, a spy and assassin who's gone rogue, in an all-natural setting somewhere in the far north. She learns everything from a stack of old encyclopedias, dictionaries, Grimm's fairy tales, and he teaches her how to shoot a deer with a bow and arrow from far away and then skin it and cook it. "Always be alert," he tells her. She has to be ready to fend off any attacker, even when she's asleep. But when she reaches the point where she can beat her father at a fight, she realizes it's time to come in from the cold, to use the old spy term. She's ready to face her father's old foe and handler, the icy, Prada-clad CIA agent Marissa, the villain, played by Kate Blanchett. From there, the movie races on with three competing killers. There's Eric, there's Hannah, and there's Marissa. They're all trying to outdo, capture, or kill one another. It's purposely kept unclear who's the hunter and who's the prey, who's running and who's chasing, as the power dynamics constantly shift in this movie. Marissa and her henchman, an effeminate German man in a white tracksuit with his two skinhead buddy fighters, pursues the 14-year-old through various unexpected exotic settings. Hannah just wants to make a friend, find her father again, revisit the Brothers Grimm, and listen to music for the very first time. She falls in with a family of British hippies who are driving their van around on a camping trip and begins to understand the complex rules of social interaction. The plot's extremely simple, a more or less nonstop series of chases and fights, but it's a visually sumptuous movie with a terrific driving soundtrack, constantly surprising cultural references, stunning scenery, great comic relief with the family, and amazing, amazing camera work. There are scenes where the camera spins around and around a full 360, and others where it flips or rolls or turns upside down. Kate Blanchett is great as the super villainess who bleeds her gums with an electric toothbrush and grimaces. Eric Bana is good as the troubled spy, and Saoirse Ronan really great as Hannah, a new type of superhero. Next, Born to be Wild, directed by David Lickley. So, wild animals? Aw, cute baby wild animals? Cute little baby wild animal orphans? Aw, how about cute little orphan baby elephants in Kenya and baby orangutans living in the rainforest of Borneo in IMAX 3D? Yeah, this is one really cute G-rated movie, the kind that makes you say, to hell with my carbon footprint. I want to jump on a jet fuel guzzling airplane and fly off to the jungles of Borneo to commune with the orangutans who look a lot like Homer Simpson. Actually, the movie's about how the rainforests that make up the wild habitat of many of the great apes are rapidly disappearing. And in Africa, there's still poachers killing elephants for their ivory tusks. So when the young are left without their mothers, they have no one to feed them. These are the orphans the movie's talking about, meaning motherless orangutans and elephants. And the narrator, Morgan Freeman, shows two women, Berute in Indonesia and Daphne in Kenya, who adopt and raise these adorable animal orphans until they're old enough to gradually be set free again. This is an extremely short movie, 40 minutes long, but it also has some of the best live 3D footage I've seen since Avatar. It's an enjoyable film, though maybe a bit cloying for grown-ups, and is perfect for kids who want to see wild animals up close. Finally, River and My Father, directed by Lua Lee. So the Canadian director and artist's newest film premiered at Images Festival, North America's largest experimental art and moving images festival that combines gallery exhibitions with screenings at movie theaters. So in this movie, he takes his father's collected memoirs of old China and sews them together in a black and white patchwork quilt of repeated disjointed scenes, narrations, titles, and subtitles, centering around people and around the water of the Yangtze. His own relatives play some of the parts, but not all of them. So you see a man in a bathing cap bobbing up and down in a river, kids playing in the woods, a formerly dressed woman leading a child up an outdoor staircase, and some older people talking to each other about childhood memories and about shooting this movie. I was a bit put off by his use of obvious anachronisms that don't match the year given in the scene's title, and the frequent repetition of certain odd scenes. But I love his images of a wet road scene, looking down and moving bicycle in the rain, and the slow gray waters and waves in the rivers and the distant shore across the water. It was funny. So I was dismissing all these errors in the movie as artistic license, but grumbling to myself just the same when the last third of the movie begins. So it has his father's critique represented by moving plain and bold Chinese fonts on the screen over English subtitles of the film I'm watching as I watch it and the filmmaker's response. So the father criticizes what you've seen so far in the movie and then he responds why he did it. This is the most interesting and surprising section of the movie. So Beeswax and Little Rock at the Royal, Born to be Wild in IMAX 3D, and Hannah in wide release. They're all opening today, April 8th, 2011 in Toronto. Check your local listings and keep your eyes open for Toronto's Images Festival, which is playing right now, and look online at imagesfestival.com. And also opening this weekend is Sprockets, the Toronto Kids Festival, at tiff.ca/Sprockets. This is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.